Good afternoon, everybody. Brian Newbert here again from goldenblack.com, live where else? At home. I guess I'm not live. This is going to be on tape delay. I told you I was going to be here every day, every weekday at least, with a goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast. You probably thought of that as more of a threat than a promise, but it was in fact a promise. And here we are again with, I think, our fifth now of this series intended to kind of help you pass the time as we all kind of sit at home during these strange days we all live in. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope everyone's taking care of themselves. I hope everyone's hands aren't bleeding the way my hands are bleeding. I probably ought to explain that. I get dry skin on my hands every winter, real bad. And it's occurred now as well. Even though it is spring, it has occurred now. The wash your hands every 30 minutes mandate that I'm basically self-imposing upon myself is not good for broken skin. Typically, I use hand moisturizer. You put the hand moisturizer on, it's time to wash your hands again. It's kind of pointless. So the hand moisturizer is not doing me a whole lot of good. Gets real bad when you go out and you have to use the hand sanitizer and then you rub the alcohol into the open wounds. And every now and then I've looked down, I've had a little pool of blood on my knuckles. You guys probably can't necessarily see it, not that you want to. But I have seriously digressed here from the topics that I intend to talk about, so I will get back on track here real fast. Once again, this is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast where I've already kind of diverged into blowing minor daily annoyances of our circumstances way out of proportion here. But anyway, this is brought to you once again by our sponsors, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. Do want to remind you once again, 6th Street Dive in Lafayette remains open for carryout, as do our friends of the business, Arnie's and Bruno's, for pizza and other things. Just want to ask you to keep them in mind if you're local and you are looking for food, if you're looking to support our local businesses, if you're looking to support our local restaurants, please keep the 6th Street Dive, Arnie's, and Bruno's in mind. If you happen to be on the interstate just outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, you can try the Dickey's Barbecue Pit as well. That's kind of my go-to cup. Today's Purdue topic, I guess, just chosen at random, is just going to be a little bit of a primer for Purdue football recruiting with this 2021 class they're currently assembling right now. You know, Purdue has three commitments as it stands today: Brownsburg wide receiver Preston Terrell, Mooresville offensive lineman Jalen Allstott Vandevanter. Gotta stop calling him Vandemeter because of that guy who plays for the Reds, and Georgia cornerback Brandon Callaway. Three guys who seemingly represent a pretty solid start to the class, all obviously A-list guys for Purdue. Preston Terrell has been committed since after the TCU game during the season. Jalen Allstott Vandevanter committed February, I think. And Brandon Callaway jumped on board last week. To run through those guys here real quick, Preston Terrell, to me, I think is a no-brainer guy for a Big Ten, as a Big Ten caliber prospect. The thing is, context kind of changes at Purdue. And, you know, there were a lot of years where Preston Terrell would be like a signature guy that the program would have gotten at wide receiver. He reminds me a little bit of a John Stanford type. Just in the way he runs, has really good ball skills, really good height, really good length, runs well enough, I think, is a great overall athlete, but he's really good at going up and getting the football. In the times I've seen him, both at Purdue's camp and the game I covered during the season. But with the talent Purdue's bringing in at wide receiver, this is a guy who's going to come to Purdue as a pretty good recruit who, you know, might – at least initially in his career, kind of have to wait his turn a little bit, if I had to guess. He's going to have time on his side, as I like to say, an opportunity to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, to learn, and so on and so forth. But Purdue has obviously brought in a very high level of talent at wide receiver, and Preston Terrell is kind of on par with that. But again, had this been before the Rondale Moore, David Bell Malik Carr sort of era in Purdue recruiting, TJ Sheffield, Ahmad Anderson, all of these really good players, Mershon Rice, Milton Wright. This is a guy who would really jump off the page at you because I think he's a really nice prospect. Jalen Allstott, Van Deventer, I can't really tell you a whole lot about him. I haven't laid my own eyes on him. I know he's probably more of an athletic sort of offensive tackle, and that is a position where you cannot be you cannot be too athletic, especially in a passing-oriented offense like the one Jeff Brohm wants to run at Purdue. You have to be more athletic there, and as much as you know, Purdue's offensive line has been limited over the years, people talk about size, strength, whatever it may be. Athleticism is a huge deal, especially in an offense like the one Jeff Brohm wants to have here at all times, where you need your offensive linemen to pass protect. You need them to get out in space and get blocks on the second and third levels. You need to be able to pull in the running game, things like that. You need to just stay in front of people too. And that's where Purdue's offensive line last year, albeit from some very young guys as well, really struggled. I think Purdue needs to get more athletic on the offensive line. The same, it needs to get more physical. And I'm not sure which is more important than the other. If Jalen Allstott, Van Deventer is a step in the right direction, great. Brandon Callaway, obviously, I can't tell you a whole lot about him. I've never laid my eyes on him either, nor will I probably ever until he gets to Purdue because he's in Georgia and I'm not. But size, obviously, is something that everybody's looking for at corner. He's a good 6'1", 6'2", per my understanding. And it's tough to find that 6'2 guy who can legitimately play corner. Those guys, you know, tend to maybe be a little bit slower out of turning their hips and running with somebody. They tend to be longer striders where sometimes you need the straightaway speed. You need the ability to short step people, to break on the ball, whatever it may be. But he will have every chance, it seems like, to play corner at Purdue. Sometimes those 6'2 guys end up as safeties. But who knows what the future holds for Brandon Callaway. I'm basically telling you about Brandon Callaway by simply looking at his dimensions. And obviously that is not always reality, if ever reality. So that's kind of the start of the class. A couple of interesting points about this recruiting season for Purdue that I guess I wanted to highlight here. The first of which is the state of Indiana is stacked with Big Ten caliber of prospects. You know, I don't know if there's necessarily the high-end David Bell, George Karloftis in the offing for Purdue this year, but I think there's like five or six guys in the state who've all at one time or another, if not right now, have been in the Rivals.com top 250 in the country, which represents a really, really deep class of higher-end guys in the state. How Purdue is going to fare with those guys, I think they're in a pretty good spot, personally. I think Yanni Karloftis, obviously, is a guy that Purdue has a lot of advantages with. I think Donovan McCulley, the quarterback at Lawrence North, is a guy who, you know, Purdue has a legitimate shot at. He's a top 250 player, but I think Yanni Karloftis is the guy, obviously, to pay attention to. George Karloftis's younger brother. Purdue's got a lot of advantages there, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he is on board before the season even kicks off. I know the season might be a little bit of a moving target, might be a little bit unconventional, we don't know, but I do think Purdue sits in a pretty good spot with Yanni Karloftis. There are two offensive linemen in the state at least who might not be Rivals 250 guys, but they are two pretty highly recruited guys who would seem like good fits at Purdue. Josh Sales at Brownsburg and Zach Richards at Mooresville. It's not ironic. It might be the Alanis Morissette definition of ironic. But it's interesting that those two guys both are really high on Purdue right now, and they both have high school teammates, as it so happens, already committed to Purdue. Both of these guys are relatively highly recruited. Zach Richards has Illinois, Indiana, a bunch of others, all of the usual suspects in terms of the Big Ten early offers. Josh Sales has been offered by Nebraska, a bunch of others, and both seem to be very high on Purdue right now. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Purdue has space enough to take three offensive linemen before June 1st, if Purdue has at least one or two of those guys, too, on top of Jalen Allstott, Van Deventer. But Purdue seems pretty well positioned here to take its share of a pretty deep, pretty talented class in the state of Indiana, which obviously would be a very good thing. That's what Purdue wants to do, obviously, is protect its home base, so to speak, and do so after Indiana just had its best season in eons. And Purdue's coming off a 4-8 season. To do that would be a pretty significant deal, I think. I think Donovan McCulley is really an interesting guy to watch. Purdue has wanted more of a dual threat kind of element at quarterback. He's right there. I think Purdue's in a pretty good spot there. I think it's Indiana, it's Iowa, it's Purdue. I think he's going to visit Missouri. I don't know if Missouri is going to be a real player for him. I don't know if they're necessarily recruiting him for quarterback. But I do think Purdue has his attention, and he would be a very good get for Purdue. The other thing I want to talk about here is just obviously, you know, Purdue's under new leadership from a defensive perspective with Bob Diaco coming in as the defensive coordinator. Whether Purdue's going to do this 3-4 thing full scale, or whether they're going to gradually ease into it, whether it's going to be more of a wrinkle than a base, I don't know yet. Purdue certainly won't tell us, nor would I expect them to. But I think what you're seeing there is you're seeing Purdue shifting a little bit toward recruiting more 3-4 personnel, suggesting that even if the 3-4 isn't entirely Purdue's present, it is probably its future as long as Bob Diaco is here. What difference does that make? Well, traditionally, there are some nuanced differences between a 3-4 and a 4-3 in terms of personnel. You are asking your defensive ends and your defensive linemen, really, and I'm only speaking generally here about a 3-4. I don't know what Purdue has conceived for it here. You do need your defensive linemen to occupy people, to keep your linebackers clean. The linebackers have to be the playmakers there. Ideally, you would have a really dominant nose tackle. Purdue could have that player this year, for all we know, if Lorenzo Neal is completely healthy. But also, Lorenzo Neal, you have one more year of him, which you were lucky to get that because of his circumstances. But that is a position Purdue's going to have to try to find an impact guy at, that true kind of nose tackle. That's a really difficult thing to get. That's a really, really difficult player to recruit because you have to be able to find not only the overwhelming size, but also enough athleticism to be a functional player, which is a very difficult combination to find and one that everybody wants. So, but more importantly is the linebackers in your 3-4. It just so happens that right now Purdue is very, 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 very exceedingly thin at linebacker. You are basically needing a junior college transfer to live up and then some right away, which is a lot to ask typically for a junior college player. I'm talking about DeMarcus Mitchell, of course. You don't return a whole lot at the position. So Purdue has some depth issues to worry about in the short term there. Probably see some guys move around a little bit. But from a future perspective, Purdue is going to have to get some guys who can play that critical outside linebacker position in that 3-4. You need those guys to be able to wear a lot of hats, or I guess in a football context, wear a lot of helmets, because those are your pass rushing positions. Those outside linebackers, typically, you're going to use your linebackers a lot from the middle, from the outside, whatever it may be, as your pass rushers. But you also need those guys to be able to do a little bit in coverage as well. It's not all that unlike what Purdue's done with its hybrid position the last couple of years, where you have asked that player a little bit to play out in space. You have asked that player to rush the passer. I think it's morphed more into a true defensive end over the years. But when it was first implemented, it was theoretically more of a position like this, where you have to have a player who can do a lot of different things. And that's a really hard player to get. You have to be pretty damn good to be able to cover really well, but also be an impact type of pass rusher. That is a really hard thing to find. And that's kind of where Purdue is. That's kind of what Purdue's looking for right now, I think, as they move toward this 3-4 personnel, is that really, really well-rounded, really, really athletic, but really, really physically gifted sort of guy. That is a hard player to get. And when you're trying to ask a lot of a player who's not capable of a whole lot, sometimes that really, really sticks out. So Purdue has to find guys who fit this sort of mold really well. To me, and I can do a whole other simulcast on this, I think Purdue has to be careful in the short term to make sure that the move to the 3-4 is maximizing the value of its current assets. I think when you look at players like Derek Barnes potentially moving to inside linebacker, when you look at what this might mean for George Karlaftis in terms of his ability to rush the passer, I think you have to make sure that the assets you have right now are kind of molded into this in a manner where they can maximize their impact, because you always have to gear what you do to your best players and the assets you have on your roster at the moment. We're talking about down the line, but I think in the short term, that's where Purdue has to be really careful. I have written down one other thing here. I cannot read it. If you can tell me what this says right here, it looks like 2OT, which would be my basketball note-taking for double overtime. That doesn't make any sense, so I'm going to skip right over that. It might be 20 plus as well. I don't know what that would mean either. The last thing I wrote down was momentum. I think from a recruiting perspective, this is really the first year where Purdue comes out of a season where it was disappointing under Jeff Brohm. Obviously, you know, injuries had a lot to do with that. Reasonable people will understand circumstances played into it, but Purdue for the first 2 years under Brohm was so good at establishing and maintaining momentum. What does that mean for recruiting now that has probably subsided for one reason or another? I don't know, but Purdue's obviously seems to be resonating with kids just as much this recruiting cycle as it did the last couple of recruiting cycles, so we'll kind of see. Obviously, a lot of this will shake out early on in the process in the summer, provided there is a traditional summer from a recruiting perspective this year, but then also, you know, Purdue will have a chance to reverse its reality on the field this year too, which could then obviously help it down the stretch with its class. Last year was the first year of the three under Jeff Brohm that Purdue actually lost commitments. What they'd done so extraordinarily well the first 2 years was make sure that they didn't lose any commitments, which is not reality in college football. Nowadays, that's just kind of part of the game, is guys committing, guys changing their minds, guys going somewhere else. It's become so much of a game of musical chairs, and Purdue was a real outlier in being immune to that. But last year was really the first year that struck Purdue. You will obviously want to do your best to insulate yourself against that this year with the guys you have committed now, but also the guys you will get committed between today and, you know, September 1st, leading into that December signing period. So Purdue ideally would really, really reverse its results on the field this coming season, and that would help it close out the class, whatever the class may look like in advance of that, but also hold on to the class, which was for the first time under Jeff Brohm a bit of a problem last season for one reason or another. So that's kind of what I got. That's kind of 2021 Purdue football recruiting in a 19-minute nutshell. So this was our fifth goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast, once again brought to you by our sponsors, Falls Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remaxability Plus. Once again, do want to remind you, 6th Street Dive in Lafayette remains open for carryout orders, as do our longtime friends of the business, Arnie's and Bruno's. Please, if you're looking for food, if you're out foraging, please keep them in mind for dinner, or if you just want to support local businesses at this really difficult time for all of us, please keep them in mind. 6th Street Dive Restaurant, Arnie's, and Bruno's. So that's what I got for today. We'll be back tomorrow with something. Thank you, everybody. Take care of yourselves and take care of everyone else. Talk to you tomorrow.